In nature, a wildfire is one of the most devastating natural forces. It burns hot and fast and leaves little behind but ash and char. Or so it seems. Very soon after the fire passes through the forest, life returns. Shrubs and weeds that clogged the forest floor have burned away, leaving space for new trees, grasses, and flowers to emerge and flourish. Habitats are created, bringing new insects, birds, reptiles, and mammals. A cancer diagnosis can feel like a wildfire, our bodies becoming this new, fire-clarified landscape. For some, cancer changes utterly everything. For others, cancer brings greater clarity and purpose. And some of us are still searching for what life after a cancer diagnosis will look like. Welcome to The Burn. We are exploring stories of life and transformation following a breast cancer diagnosis. I'm April Stearns, the founder and editor of Wildfire Magazine and the host of this podcast. Today, we're going to hear a piece about searching for and finding acceptance within a cancer diagnosis. My guest today has a line in her piece that leapt off the page at me. Normally, I don't quote from our storytellers before they take the stage and read their essays, but I think this kind of sets you up well for what we'll be exploring today. So my guest wrote, "Bad things do not happen to good people." Or do they? She wrote this as she was questioning why cancer came her way. And in the many years I've been working with writers to tell their cancer stories, this theme has come up a lot. Did I somehow cause my cancer? I know I worried about that when I was diagnosed. Had my expectation that I might develop breast cancer one day seed the cancer in my breast? And to be honest, even all these years later, I'm still really not sure how I'd feel about that. Intellectually, I feel one way. Emotionally, I feel another. But I'll let you see what you think when we hear from our storyteller. So let me tell you about her. Her name is Cheryl Halpuena. She is a full-time mom and wife, diagnosed at 37 with stage 3 hormone-positive breast cancer. Cheryl retired from her job in the bank to become a full-time wife and mom. She grew weary of the corporate jungle's hamster wheel. Living an ordinary life with her favorite extraordinary people is currently the bane and boon of her existence. And she's coming to us today all the way from around the world where it's 3 a.m. as we record this from the Philippines. Hey, Cheryl, welcome to The Burn.
Hi, April. It's so great to meet you.
Same. I'm so glad you're here. We're going to hear a essay from you that you titled, "Why Not Me?" We published this in the 2023 New Normal issue of Wildfire. For those of you listening, stay tuned to the very end because I have a writing prompt inspired by today's episode. All right, Cheryl, I'll let you take it away.
Thank you. Why not me? It is late afternoon. The time when the sun is struggling to keep its outstretched arms from being pulled below the horizon. The pinks, oranges, and indigos juxtapose against the sky, promising to merge into darkness in a few minutes. The burst of colors that creeps in to claim the remnants of the day before dusk is a feast for the eyes. Yet it somehow evokes a melancholia that borders on the tranquil and depressive. Twilight has become a somber experience these days. I sit on the daybed outside in the lanai. Feeling blah and exceptionally ugly, I stayed in my pajamas the whole day. In 4 days, I will have my second chemotherapy session. And I just received the lab results that my WBC values were good to go. I run my fingers through my newly cropped hair. My hand did not come away empty, as small, springy hairs stuck to my palm. There were now a couple of bald patches on my head. I point my phone's camera at various angles to take photos of the empty spots where my hair used to be. It seems I would now need to shave it all off. Unconsciously, I touch my chest, as if validating that the absence of my breasts is not a nightmare that I could wake up from. Thank God my hair is starting to fall off. Chemo must be working, I thought to myself. It's crazy what you're able to thank God for when you have cancer. I thank God for every side effect that Google said would happen. I was hanging on to the hope that through all these, I could determine that the drugs were doing what they were supposed to do, killing each and every cancer cell inside of me. Feeling nauseous? Check. Fatigue? Check. Hair falling off? Check. Nails turning black? Check. Period stopping? Oh no. Why not yet? I made a mental note to myself to bring that up with my oncologist on my next checkup. My life is surreal. I feel like a character in an impressionist painting. Figuratively present, but not quite who I really am. Maybe Dega can make sense of my current state. My life is bleeding over the lines that held it all together. To be diagnosed with breast cancer at 37 was not part of the plan. I had no family history and no strong lifestyle predisposition. My country, the Philippines, has the highest rate of breast cancer in Asia, and I am one of the unlucky ones to be diagnosed. My life was picture perfect. I was married and we had two beautiful boys, aged 7 and 4 at the time. My husband was wonderful and still is, and we had known each other since we were teenagers. I was working as a manager handling merchant acquiring for the number one bank in our country. The job was stressful, but my family life more than made up for it. We all loved each other. We had fun and often laughed ourselves silly. We regularly had family and friends over. We took vacations. We had a nanny, household helpers, yes, we do here in the Philippines, and a driver who drove our kids to school. We were comfortable, too comfortable that we may have seemed boring. But who was complaining? Certainly not me. I look at the photos of my head. I grimace and send them to my friends to update them of my progress to baldness. I ponder on my unfortunate situation. No breasts, no hair, a possible hysterectomy, future health issues from cancer treatment, and a lifetime of worry about recurrence, to name just a few. It had been my personal choice to have both breasts removed and was starting to regret it despite my stage 3A diagnosis. Bad things did not happen to good people. Or did they? I watched the sky darken. The sun had finally succumbed to its nighttime fate. This sublime transition of twilight to night always gives me an inane fear of finality, of not being able to go back and make reparations for the mistakes of the day. Is this what's going to happen to my life too? Will this illness be the end of me soon? Breast cancer had no place in the blueprint of my life. The stillness is momentarily broken by my younger son's delighted screams from the playroom. This intrusion to my thoughts pulls me back from my somber mood and brings a smile to my face. My biggest blessings are enjoying themselves inside. They are happy, healthy, and seem to be adjusting well to our new situation with mom at home on an indefinite leave from work. I do my best to show them that I am not afraid. Well, most of the time. I do not want them irreversibly scarred by this experience. I close my eyes and feel my heart overflow with gratitude. Thank God I am the one sick and not my husband or any of my children. It is surprisingly abrupt and a very welcome respite from the lugubrious reverie I was in. I can do this. I am ready for this. I will embrace this obstacle with open arms. 6 years later, I sit in almost the same spot. My hair is not as it used to be. It has grown stringy, thin, and white hairs are visible. I am not the same person I was in 2017. I have lost my youth to menopause and my vanity to breast cancer. I have learned to take it one day at a time. The daybed that I was sitting on a few years back has given way to my husband's aquarium. I've let go of preconceived notions of what I think my life should be. I have since quit my job. It was not making me happy. It gave me financial stability and health insurance, but took time and headspace away from the people who really mattered in my life. Life is too short to be unhappy. Breast cancer has challenged the version of normal and ideal that I used to live by. A perfect life is not the absence of challenges and the uninterrupted fulfillment of plans. One is never ready for anything, and cancer does not discriminate between its worthy recipients. It does not distinguish between rich or poor, with family history or none, healthy or unhealthy, or whether you are ready or not. It just takes over your perception of a normal life, bringing with it the daily struggles of keeping your hope alive and your faith burning.
Oh, that was so beautiful. Cheryl, I always love hearing people read their own stories, and this was no different. It was just so nice to hear this in your own words. It gives another layer. So thank you so much for reading to us today.
Thank you for having me too.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a quick break here. We'll let you catch your breath before we get into some questions. And I want to hear from one of our Wildfire fans. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is April. Every week here on The Burn, I say there is no place on the planet like a wildfire writing workshop. And I want you to know that I mean that. I mean it from the deepest part of my core. And that's because there is no place where young people with breast cancer gather together and bear themselves on the page and then share it. Again and again, people tell me that they didn't even know how much they needed the writing workshop and the writing prompts until they came and they wrote. So have you dreamed about writing your own essay to submit to Wildfire? Maybe you have a piece of your cancer story that you want to share, but you need help getting started with it. Or maybe you just need time to be accountable, to show up weekly for yourself and for others in a community. Sign up for our Sparks class. You'll find it to be the safe place that you need to get your ideas sparking for your next essay, your next poem, or maybe just to do the healing that you need to do. Head to wildfirecommunity.org/workshops to sign up for the next one. I can't wait to write with you.
Hi, my name is Joe, and I was diagnosed with breast cancer at age 29 in 2018. I attended a Wildfire writing workshop recently, and it was a fun, encouraging, and ultimately healing experience. Before finding Wildfire, I was in a very conflicted mental state from the trauma of cancer treatment. Now I feel a bit more at peace with the hard road I've traveled, and in a more accepting place with who I am today and how those tough life experiences shaped me. I feel more wholesome and motivated to continue writing. So thank you so much, April, for offering these writing workshops. And to other young breast cancer survivors out there, I highly recommend you sign up.
Okay, thank you so much for the love, Joe. So nice to hear your voice today. And welcome back to Cheryl. Thank you again for your powerful writing and for sharing such a vulnerable and intimate piece with us today. So I want to get into some questions with you. And there's so many places that I feel like we can go with your essay. But one place I guess I want to start is where you are right now. So when you were writing this essay, it had been 6 years since you were in treatment. And one thing that I like to ask people to kind of curb the cultural norm that I feel like when we are starting to be a few years out from our diagnosis, a few years out from treatment, the common question we receive is, you're all good now, right? Or you're fine now, right? And I feel like a better question is to ask someone, and this is my question for you, you know, what does survivorship right now look like for you? And what is your biggest challenge in survivorship right now today?
I just resigned from my job last 2022. So right now, I'm taking time out for myself. I'm spending time with my family, especially my kids. I'm the one bringing them to school every day. And I really appreciate this time that I have with them, because I wasn't able to spend a lot of time with them because of my work. When they were younger, they're already 15 and 12, and it's like I'm getting to know them again. I'm also trying to find myself again, I guess. I've started joining a cancer support group just very recently. And I think it's also the perfect time for me to give back already to the cancer community, since I also received a lot of support from fellow cancer survivors while I was undergoing treatment. A lot of my friends who were also breast cancer survivors, they were messaging me while I was on active treatment to give me support, and even just to ask me how I was, and sending prayers. You know, we are a Catholic country in the Philippines, and it's very usual for everyone to say that, "We're praying for you. Hey, I'm going to give you something to help you with your cancer journey. This is I'm offering a mass for you." So as of now, in my cancer survivorship, I'm also doing the same for my other friends who are still in active treatment. So I guess, when you're out of treatment already, when you're out of active treatment already for a while, like I am now, it's been 6 years, you're starting to look for more meaning to what you experienced as a cancer patient before. So for me, at this point in my life, I'm trying also to be meaningful and be relevant in the cancer, how do you say it, in the cancer world, in the cancer cancer existence, cancer universe. So I guess that's what survivorship is for me at this point in my life. Am I making sense? Mm-hmm. It's 3 a.m. I'm trying to make sense of myself.
Yes, you really are. And I relate to so much of what you said. But I do feel like there are some people who, you know, might be listening who are not 6 years out yet, you know, are either still going through treatment or are fresher from treatment, who might be surprised to hear that someone would stay, you know, in this cancer world or in this cancer space. Because sometimes it's hard. You know, you have these constant reminders and you lose people here in the community. Has there ever been a question for you about whether to, you know, give back, like you said, or just kind of shut that door and move on with Cheryl today, you know, and leave cancer behind as much as you can?
Actually, maybe that was why I did not resign from my job right after cancer treatment. While I was in cancer treatment, I was already thinking of resigning from my job because I felt like it was really stressful. But then again, I thought to myself, if I did that, I would be facing a lot of myself, my fears, especially of cancer recurrence. So I guess one way that I was coping with it was to continue working, no matter how stressful, no matter how unhappy I was with my job. I think that was one way that I was trying to close the doors on cancer. But the unhappiness was starting to get to me. So I decided to leave everything behind, leave my job behind. And maybe face this cancer thing head on. I think my job was more like my crutch to not stare cancer in the face because I was busy 8 to 5. I was traveling, so there was not much time to think about cancer. There was not much time to think about recurrence. I didn't have time to think about how I could give back to the community. But now, I think I'm brave enough to face it once again. Just so I could be more relevant to the cancer community. So I really don't know how I could be of help as I've just started to join this cancer support group and I've started to write about it. So I'm excited about the future, whether cancer's there or not. It's more about being excited to give back.
Yes, exactly. And to feel that hope stirring inside of you and that excitement, like you said, is such a gift and so precious. So I'm glad that you're in a space now where you can embrace that. And I also just want to underscore what you said about, you know, staying in your job afterward. I had a totally different job, obviously, before, you know, I was diagnosed and I stayed in that same job for a couple of years after. I think for a lot of the same reasons that you just shared, you know, it was a welcome distraction from all of the cancer stuff. And I was also desperate to get back to normal. And I still thought that was possible.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But then you realized you're not the same person that you were.
Exactly. So I want to shift right here just to piggyback on what you were just talking about with regard to what cancer is like, what breast cancer is like in the Philippines. And I'm curious about a young person's experience of going through it. I know that you haven't received cancer treatment in the U.S. where I am, but is there anything that you want the world to know, the world of people listening to this, about what cancer experiences are like in the Philippines right now?
I had a very not so difficult experience just because I had the health insurance, and we could afford treatment. But just to give you an example, even if I was working, my job was great. The pay was okay. I had health insurance. But my health insurance for the whole year was equivalent to, let me see, just $3,000. That's already the equivalent of my whole health insurance for the whole year. So It was only able to cover my surgery, my mastectomy, and maybe 3 chemotherapy sessions. So that's actually how bad healthcare is here in the Philippines. The poorer patients here in the Philippines, they have to line up in the public hospitals just to get chemotherapy. And sometimes they wait for days or weeks or months just to get a slot. And most of these patients, they start at stage 1. And sometimes when they're able to get the slot, they're already at stage 3. So It's really very far off from treatment in the U.S. But We have good doctors here. We follow the same protocol as you there. But it's just that there's not enough government support here. So for the poorer patients, most of them don't get the treatment that they deserve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll say that those discrepancies and things exist here as well, you know, and I feel like everyone I've talked to in all the different countries, there's no perfect healthcare system. There's no perfect cancer system. But one of the things I love is because of, maybe not because of that, but in spite of it, and in spite of cancer itself, there are people like yourself who want to give back and help fellow patients within the system. And I love patient advocacy for that reason. It's so valuable and so necessary to fill in some of those cracks that exist. And it sounds like you had community from the start after your diagnosis. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah. A lot of my friends who were who are survivors, a lot of them reached out to me, and some of them even were the ones who set appointments with the doctors and with the surgeon, and they were always there to during my chemo sessions. They were there to give support in whatever way they can. And we all check up on each other from time to time until now. So the community is really very supportive of each other. Even if we all want to give back financially, but it's also not really feasible, as a lot of us are not really very financially able to do so also. But in terms of the cancer support group that I'm presently joining now, we have started to reach out to hospitals, and we're trying to fill in the gap that some patients, they don't have people to help them with paperwork, or they don't have somebody to bring them to the hospital or bring them home from the chemo sessions. So we're trying to reach out to these people and give them support. We can lend them drivers, or we can lend them somebody to help them process their paperwork in the hospitals. So we're also coming up with some little programs to help to bridge this gap in the hospital system.
Oh, I like that a lot. And yeah, I just want to underscore what you said too about the money. You know, a lot of us, well, all of us in Wildfire, you know, are on the younger side of being diagnosed, which means that our careers are younger, our savings accounts, if they exist, are younger, you know, all of those things. And so many people also do leave their jobs and make job changes because of, you know, a change in perspective after cancer or just a change in abilities. And so, yeah, the money part is a big deal too.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Especially here.
Yeah. Yes. Well, our time is running short, but I do want to come back to one of my favorite parts in your essay, which was when you were talking about side effects and using them as a clue that the chemo was doing its job and that things were lining up and we were ticking off boxes, that things were working. Yeah. And I really love that you wrote that because I think that probably a lot of us are searching for those signs that things are working. And it reminded me of something else. And I wonder if this resonates with you. But when I went into cancer treatment, one of my maybe subconscious goals until I thought about it later was that I wanted to be the best cancer patient my oncologist had ever seen. And, you know, and I was thinking about it again as I was listening to you read, because, you know, what is the best cancer patient? Is it the person who's super compliant with all of, you know, the recommendations? Is it the person who has every single side effect, you know, known to exist? Yeah. Is it the person who is able to do every treatment? And yeah, so I'm just wondering if that rings true for you and just wanting to do cancer right somehow.
During my checkups with my oncologist, I asked about every single thing that I could find on Google. But he was very patient about it. I think he was very appreciative of the fact that I was also reading up on my breast cancer. So yeah, the checklist was there. I was especially worried. Oh my gosh, why is it already on my sixth session and my period is still there? I was very much worried about it. I was basing the success of my treatment by the number of side effects that I was feeling, or by the number of side effects that I was experiencing. I was thinking that, oh no, maybe if this side effect did not appear on my body yet, maybe there's something lacking in my treatment. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe I was just when you're on active treatment, it feels like you're paranoid, and I felt like I was becoming a hypochondriac already.
Yeah, sure. Well, your body did something unexpected, you know, and it created an environment to allow this cancer to grow. And I know for me, entering into the world of cancer was so unknown, and I had no clue, you know, besides this lump that cancer was there. And then to be told that I was very sick when I didn't feel very sick was so disorienting. And so it also really makes sense to me that you would use the side effects of chemo as a little bit of a roadmap, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, if my hair falls out around, you know, treatment two, then we're right on track, you know, and things like that to help know where we are in this new land. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I was using it definitely as a roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I was also thinking my nails were already black, so maybe 50% of the medicine was already taking effect. maybe 50% of the cancer cells are already dead. I mean, those things. It's really funny exactly. when you think about it now. But during mm-hmm. that time, it was very stressful.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And also maybe because since I had no family history of breast cancer, so I had no experience being with somebody who was under treatment for breast cancer. So maybe mm-hmm. that was also why I was especially worried or paranoid about those things.
Yeah, or just hypervigilant, you know, to your own body going yeah. through it. And it's such an interesting thing how the brain needs to be involved as well, you know, making sense yeah. of and scanning all the time and yep, all of it. Well, Cheryl, it's been so nice to have this conversation with you. I feel like we could talk for hours, but I know it's 3 a.m. or 3:30 now, perhaps. So I don't want to keep you too long, but I know, you know, that you're building community and you're seeking community. So is there a place online where people can follow you?
Just on Facebook and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
My name on Facebook is Cheryl Escalon Halbuena. And on Instagram, it's S.A. Halbuena.
Perfect. We will link to that in the show notes as well. And I guess I just want to ask you one really, really fast question. But how did you find your way to Wildfire? I don't know that we have a lot of readership in the Philippines yet.
Actually, I just found you on Instagram.
Perfect.
I just found you there. That means you're doing a good job at promoting yourself.
Yeah. I guess so. Well, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that you found your way here and that you wrote and, you know, shared your story today.
It was my first time writing for anything.
Oh, well, congratulations. I love that. Thank you for choosing us to publish you. Yeah. All right. Well, you guys have been listening today to Cheryl Halbuena. She read her essay, Why Not Me? From the 2023 New Normal issue. And I'm April Stearns, and you've been listening to The Burn. The Burn is a production of Wildfire Magazine, where we share breast cancer stories from young people like you've never read or heard before. We also strive to inspire you to write your story like you've never written it before. Stay to the end for a writing prompt inspired by today's episode. Our producer is Bill Smith of Shoe Production, and our production assistant is Monica Haro. If you want more on the life-changing transformation to be had from telling your breast cancer stories, please visit us at wildfirecommunity.org. You'll find a copy of the issue shared in today's episode, our full Wildfire archives, and you can take a writing workshop with me. There's no place on the planet like a Wildfire writing workshop, and I want you to experience it for yourself. Discover how to write your way back to yourself, write your way to reclaiming your body and your story. And don't forget to subscribe to The Burn and listen to it wherever you go. We would love your 5-star reviews. Please think about giving us one. All right, here is your writing prompt. I want you to think about this phrase. I want to live a blank life. I want to live a blank life. Maybe for you, that is a glamorous life or a joyful life. Maybe it's a quiet life or a normal life. Maybe it's a perfect life. What would you fill into that blank? Go ahead and set your timer for 8 minutes, fill in the blank and see where it takes you from there, right without stopping. And if you find that you write best with a good writing prompt, I have many more for you over at wildfirecommunity.org/free. Head on over. Happy writing. Thanks for listening. Until next time, take good care.